Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning to you. We're now getting all of your suggestions for criteria to earn the After Hours Spicy Dill Award of the Week. I don't even feel like we need to use the word award. It'd just be, you're the Spicy Dill of the Week. Sounds very edgy. And not to give dills a bad name, we love dill pickles. We've established that we all love dill pickles, but spicy dill. There's got to be some way that we can award the Spicy Dill of the Week. Shaka Khan is definitely a candidate, though we haven't officially started handing out the Spicy Dill of the Week awards. It's an honor, really. Maybe she will be the first one to earn it. So we'll get back to her rendition of the national anthem. I am okay with putting your interpretation on art. The national anthem is something that doesn't need to be screwed with. It's too many people do try to make a name for themselves, and they end up in Fergie category, Carl Lewis category, although he just couldn't sing. So good morning to you on that note. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. A lot of you weighing in your reaction to the proposed changes to the NFL postseason and regular season. They're not the same thing. They don't actually come as a matching set. This is not salt and pepper shakers. This is two completely separate proposals. So the first one that's most likely to happen, and it's most likely to happen this coming season, is that we would have an expanded playoff format. The current format, the one that includes 12 teams and wild card weekend and the top two in each conference getting a bye, stretches back to 1990. So it's been 30 years with this format. The new proposal that right now is not scheduled for a vote on either side, but let me just tell you, the owners have wanted this for years. Going back to when I was at my previous network, this is something they concocted. So it's been years because they've been under this most recent CBA for the last decade. They want to add one team in each conference, and then they want to make it so that only the top team in the AFC and the NFC receive byes. I am all for expanding the playoffs. I think that if you're the NFL, you realize that stage is massive. The playoff ratings are through the roof. It increases interest and entertainment and excitement. They can charge buku bucks, not just to their broadcast partners who would be carrying these playoff games, but also to advertisers. You remember this past year, was it 5.6 million? It might not even have been that. Right? It might have been more than that. Excuse me. I had a hiccup. I don't know why. It's just one hiccup. $5.6 million is the number that resonates with me, but I'm going to look it up real quick for a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl. I mean, we're talking about astronomical revenue sources, and during the playoffs, the only way to increase that then would be to add extra games. So the format would be three games Saturday of wild card weekend, three games Sunday of wild card weekend, and then you would have the top team in each conference having the bye and awaiting the winner. So I don't have to go through the whole thing. You get it. If this had been the format for this past January, we would have had the Rams and Steelers who would have made the playoffs. By the way, a 30-second commercial for the Super Bowl in 2019 was $5.3 million for 20. Yeah, I was right. Did I say $5.6 million? Boom! Every now and then, this brain comes up with something just out of the nether reaches, and it happens to be right. Blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. So the idea behind expanding the playoffs is obviously more money. I mean, let's just be honest. It's about more money. But if you're the players and you're getting a greater cut of the revenue, and we'll talk about that in a second, and you're also keeping more teams battling for longer to make the playoffs, well, then it's a win-win, right? Who out there doesn't want to still be part of the playoff equation, still be battling for the postseason, even if you're a middling team, still be working toward a playoff spot, even in the final month, the final 2 weeks of the regular season. So that to me is all good. It's good for the players. It's good for the NFL. You expand the postseason and it's a win-win. But I do have one caveat. I do have one piece of the proposal that I'm not on board with, that I don't like. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What's your reaction on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, and our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I do not like the idea of only one team in each conference having a bye. And I mean, if you're going to have seven teams in each conference make the playoffs, it's, you know, you're going to end up with some inequity there because it's not a round even number. But here's why I don't like it. And I've said this before, it's not anything new. Again, this proposal has been floated out there for a few years now by the NFL. I don't like it because there is a massive advantage to having a bye. The numbers bear it out, but you don't even need the numbers. You can just use the eye test during the playoffs. It's rare that a wild card team makes it all the way to Championship Sunday, like the Titans did this past year. It's even rarer that a wild card team, meaning a team that had to play, actually, you know what? A wild card team or a division winner that had to play wild card weekend. So I'll just put them all in the same category. Teams that play wild card weekend rarely get to the Super Bowl. So with two teams on bye in each conference, at least you have two teams in each conference that are essentially on a level playing field. So you've got two teams that get to rest that first weekend, which means that it's not just this one team that has the week off that would then have a massive advantage. At least if those two teams with byes get to the conference championship, you're likely to see a more competitive game. So if you're going to give teams a massive advantage, which is what it is to not have to play wild card weekend, well, then I'd rather see that advantage spread over four teams in the conferences as opposed to two. Because I don't want it to be such a huge advantage that it's so formulaic that now we end up with the one seeds constantly going to the Super Bowl. It's already a big advantage for them because they have home field. But here are the numbers, just so you understand where I'm coming from. And I tweeted this particular number. Going back the last 30 years, since the NFL expanded to this current format with 12 teams and wildcard weekend, the way that it is right now. So we're talking 30 years, 60 Super Bowl teams. Of those 60 Super Bowl teams, only 12 have ever come out of wildcard weekend. So only 12 out of 60 have ever played the opening weekend of the postseason over the last 30 years. No team since the 2012 Ravens, who did end up winning the Super Bowl, no team since then. So we haven't had a team play wild card weekend and get all the way to the Super Bowl since the Ravens in 2012 season, 2013 playoffs. Now, expand it even farther, where the seeding system got instituted by the NFL back in the 70s. So now we're talking about 45 years of a sample size. The number one or two seeds, so the teams that have had byes, not all byes. Okay, that's not fair. The one or two seeds, so the seeds that get the home field, that have the advantages, the one or two seeds, they've reached the Super Bowl 71 times. So the top two seeds, going back 45 years, have been in the Super Bowl 71 times. All other seeds only got there 17 times. So my point is, in sharing those numbers with you, there's a major disparity. Yes, the regular season is an opportunity to earn that advantage. This past year, what did we have? We had the Niners as the top seed in the NFC, the Chiefs, who used all of the regular season. Remember, it wasn't until week 17 that they actually grabbed that number two seed in the AFC. They both had byes. They both ended up with home field in the championship game, and they both went to the Super Bowl. The home field maybe not as big a deal. Think about it. Two years ago, it was the Patriots who went into Arrowhead Stadium and won in overtime. It was the Rams who went into New Orleans. So maybe the home field isn't as big a deal, but the byes are. The byes make a massive difference. So I'd rather have two teams in each conference with playoff byes that first weekend, because at least then you've got two teams who might face each other who are on that same level playing field. If you single out one team in each conference, or if it's the top seed in each conference, you should see me right now in the studio. I'm like gesturing wildly, Italian. I'm very passionate about this, and my hands are flying all over the place. Anyway, when you have just one team in each conference who has that advantage, I don't know. I don't want these numbers to be any more tilted in favor of the teams with byes. It's already a big advantage. Again, in the last 30 years, 60 teams have gone to the Super Bowl. And of those 60 teams, only 12 of them have played on wild card weekend. So it's a huge mountain to climb. And we're not just talking about wild card teams. We're talking about division winners that also had to play wild card weekend. It's not so much about your seeding, although that does make a difference. It's also about having to play the end of the regular season right into the playoffs and not getting a break. Because we know how difficult it is on these players to, especially if your regular season bye is earlier in the year, it's nonstop. Your physical body is beat up. Mentally, you're exhausted. Now, it's survival of the fittest, right? It's survive in advance. We get that. I just think it's a little fairer. I know life is not fair. I think it's a little bit fairer, a little more equitable if it's not just one team that has the week off. And while it's likely to change, we are likely to see this. I guess we'll have maybe a few years down the road and we'll understand whether or not it creates an even greater advantage. So again, only 20% of the time in the last 30 years has a team made the Super Bowl after playing on Wild Card Weekend and not since the Ravens in 2013. But what do you think about it? A-Law Radio on Twitter, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The second proposal, which is separate from the playoff expansion plan, is that they would expand the regular season to 17 games. According to the people that I know inside the league, to agents, this one is a little more up in the air. So they're not, I don't think you should say, I should say that they're absolutely going to do this, or they're leaning toward doing it in the Players Association. I don't think they're sure yet. It depends on what concessions they get in exchange for adding a 17th game. What do the players get in return? Money is one thing they want, but it's not the only thing they want. And so we'll let you hear some of the other concessions the NFL might have to make in order to get players to agree to a 17-game schedule. But you can find us on Twitter or Facebook if you have your ideas for how we should award the spicy dill of the week. I mean, now I just need to eat a pickle. It's a power suggestion. We will we'll continue to read some of your reaction and take your phone calls. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The Rams 19, 3rd and 10. Prescott in the gun. Back to throw. Four-man rush. Standing and throwing the ball to the right. And a nifty catch for Whitten. It's a three. And three steps into the end zone for the GOAT. Touchdown. Whitten and the Cowboys.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ah, the great pipes of Brad Sham, Cowboys Radio Network. Jason Witten says he wants to play another season, but that's not really what we're talking about. It's just the dulcet tones of football play-by-play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for all your spicy dill suggestions. I like this one from Tim. Spicy dill for the sports figure who's gotten themselves in a pickle. And then he says, P.S., I'll pay you. No more Shaka Khan. Oh, man, you better turn the radio off then before the top of the hour, because I feel like it's a good way to get people laughing before they go to work on this Thursday.
Oh, say does it, so spangled, yeah.
That's just a taste. That's so mean. We're such teases. Although I think people might be begging us not to play the whole song all at once. Christopher on Facebook, the Spicy Dill Award should be for the hot mess of the week. Now that I like, but I feel like it gives pickles a bad name. We love pickles. They're not really messes. I don't know if you guys are pickle out of the jar people, but my family and I, we eat pickles out of the jar, especially my younger niece and I. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, on our Facebook page, or on our Twitter, After Hours CBS. So what will the NFL concede? This is how bargaining goes, right? You have got to give something up to get something in return. Oh, it's like the immunity situation with Major League Baseball. There was no way Rob Manfred was going to get the full, honest, incriminating testimony if he didn't promise immunity. Although Tony Clark has told us that wasn't even ever a possibility the players would get disciplined, which the plot thickens. But for the NFL, what is the league giving up in order to get the players to agree to 17 games in the regular season?
Issues like changing the marijuana policy, issues like the commissioner not having as much say over off-field issues, deflate gates and bounty gates, if you will, that now being handled separately and not by the commissioner anymore. That's long been on the table. The truncated preseason, some people are reporting three preseason games. I'm hearing it might only be two preseason games and then a padded practice. Some of these, in recent years, you've seen a lot of teams traveling to meet one another for basically glorified scrimmages or practices that aren't actually games. I'm told that may happen. The preseason in and of itself, all around, training camps, etc., likely to be shortened. Players still want fewer practices, total and padded practices, than what's on the table right now. That's something the owners are going to discuss amongst themselves at their meeting in New York tomorrow. My sense is owners are willing to give back on that. We'll see an international game played every week, international or neutral site.
Jason Lockenfora, CBS NFL Insider. You see him every Sunday on the NFL on CBS. Also, congratulations to Jason, who comes on the show a bunch, but he's local to Baltimore and just got a new radio show on our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7 The Fan. Super cool. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Jason kind of giving you an indicator of what some of the concessions the NFL might have to make to get this done. The marijuana policy is not that strict, let's be honest, but maybe they drop it all together. Maybe they really back off of it. In case you don't know, NFL players are only tested for pot once, and they know when the test is, and then the rest of the year they're good to go, and they're not even suspended the first time they pop positive for marijuana. So it's really not that stringent, but players would like to have it even less so. But also the preseason, that's a big deal. There's no way the 17-game slate goes forward unless the preseason is dramatically reduced, both the number of practices as well as the number of games. And I love that for fans. I love that for us, whether we go to games or whether we watch on TV, because a lot of times they're not even worth bothering. And for the fans who have season tickets to their favorite stadiums, they have to pay for these games, even if it's not material that is, you know, worth paying the same fair that you would for a regular season game. All right, 855-212-4227. Austin is in Sacramento. Welcome to After Hours.
What's up, Amy? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I have about 3 points. I'll start with the regular season since they are different than the expanded playoffs. If we go to 17 games, I'm totally cool with it. I'm never going to complain about more football. Mm-hmm. I would just like to see an extended bye week for these players so they can have one more week of rest. I don't know if you add that towards the beginning of the season, midseason. I don't know. Not a politician, but the expanded playoffs. I'm also okay with that as well. More football again. I would love to see it, but I have to disagree with you where the bye is such a big deal for the first and second seed. I believe that the first and second seed, the reason why it's such a benefit is because those teams are so far beyond good versus the rest of the league to begin with. It's not the bye that makes them great. It's that they have such a good season and that they have the best players oftentimes. So I don't think the bye is what makes them fantastic. That 1-2 team in each league, they're there for a reason. It's because they're fantastic.
But now, see, I would say sometimes that's the case. I'm going to cut in here, Austin. Sometimes that's the case, but sometimes it's not. For instance, you could have a player who's injured, really banged up from the end of the regular season and desperately needs that time off and isn't going to get it. Number two, let's think about the Saints this year. The Saints were a 13-3 team. They're extremely good, and they ended up losing the tiebreak against the Packers and the Niners. They didn't have to play that first weekend, and there they were, susceptible for an upset. And And again, I think a lot of it has to do with taking that time off. So I'll agree with you. If you're going to add a second bye into the regular season, if you're going to make the regular season stretch over the course of 19 weeks so that each team has two byes, one earlier, maybe a third of the way through, maybe then, you know, the two-thirds after two-thirds of the season, then I think it makes more sense. But the numbers show that the teams who have byes, and it can't always be because they're the most dominant teams, it's an advantage to not have to put your physical body through, let's say, three consecutive weeks of playoff games as opposed to getting a week off and then only playing twice.
Okay, I can agree with that. Again, though, I would lean more towards they're just the better team. So
sometimes.
I don't think the bye week is, let's say, 10% versus 90%, meaning I believe that more often than not, it's because they're a better team, not because of injuries or that they needed a bye. But that's just my opinion. I appreciate the show. You're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Good to talk to you in Sacramento. 855-212-4227. Certainly the piece of this that will likely decide it is how much extra money the players are going to get. Yes, they want these other concessions, but how much more of the revenue will they have access to? So under the current labor deal, the players share 47% of the NFL's revenue. Think about that. The players, of which there are thousands, share 47% of the revenue. The owners, of which there are 31, plus the Green Bay Packers, who are owned publicly, they share 53% of billions and billions of dollars. And let's just be frank here. The NFL is approaching $20 billion in revenue. And once they negotiate their, that's annual, once they negotiate their new broadcasting rights, it'll be well over that. It's been NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's stated goal that they would reach $25 billion, the B word, $25 billion in revenue under his watch. And they're closing in on that with this new CBA. So the players would see an increase under the current proposal. This may change. Maybe the players counter with their own numbers. They would see an increase from 47% of the revenue to 48.5% if they go to 17 games. So let's be honest. The owners are still making way more money hand over fist because of all the revenue, and there's only 31 of them. We'll just say 32 for the sake of argument. There's 32 franchises splitting that money. The players, though, would see an extra $5 billion in revenue. How about that? 1.5% would shift $5 billion to their side of the equation. So it's a healthy chunk of change. It's just that you're splitting it over a lot more paychecks. So what do you think? How do you feel about this expanded playoff plan, this expanded playoff proposal, which is separate from the regular season? More than likely, the playoffs are going to expand in 2020. This plan's been out there for years. They're just now getting to the point where they're going to agree to it. The regular season, that's a little more iffy, more up in the air. And Andrew Bogish is here in studio. How do you like it?
Proposals. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm surprised that we're losing a bye in that first round of the playoffs. I thought that was a more important thing. I mean, everything we know about right now is an owner victory. So we need to know what the players are getting here. Because I honestly don't know what you're supposed to think about the argument of player safety when the players here are signing up for extra games. Mm-hmm. And games are obviously where all of the danger lies. So we need to
They get hurt in practice.
Yeah. So we need to know what they're getting back to make all of these all these concessions.
Mm-hmm. How did you like Chaka Khan? Not that that wasn't really important, but how did you like Chaka Khan's rendition of the national anthem?
Did you hear it in
Mexico?
No, I did not. I saw tweets about that next morning and just never actually hit play on a video. So
can we bother you for maybe 15 seconds of it?
Fire away.
Okay, let's go.
Whoa, say. So Spangled, yeah.
What song is this?
Did it take 8 minutes?
It took 3.5 is what I heard. I didn't time it myself, but...
Yeah. Now, I know nothing about singing, but that is a hard song to sing.
Okay. She made it a lot harder.
Technically, yeah. I mean, that's like she didn't know what she was doing.
Oh, my gosh. Like Fergie. Remember how bad Fergie's was? Remember the players? Well, that was also an all-star game, wasn't it?
It was.
And the players were laughing at her. Yeah, they were laughing. Remember Draymond Green? He got caught on camera like smirking.
I saw a lot of confused faces.
Yes.
On Sunday night where they were lining up. That's just... Get up there. I know you got to be you, but like just sing it. And every once in a while, like throw in a Chaka Khan area. But for the rest of the time, a
modulation.
Yeah. A little personalization here and there, but not from every single word.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, okay, I just wondered if you had missed that in Mexico.
I did happily mix it in Mexico, and I thought by Thursday I had completely missed it, but thanks
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
61-50 State. Johnson driving straight on three. Good by Markell Johnson. That's a big one. 23 for Johnson. And it's 64-50. Lead back up to 14 with 9:40 to go. Here's Johnson driving to the foul line. Right wing to Devin Daniels. Shoots for three. Got it. Wide open for the right corner. Daniels. 25 points for Daniels, a new career high, and State's got its biggest lead at 83-58. Right wing to Stanley, guarded by Bryce. Stanley puts it on the deck, pass to the top of the key, picked off by Johnson. Johnson in a breakaway, jams it. There's a new career high for Johnson. 3-2-1. There's your horn, and that's it. 88-66. State upsets Duke. The students rush the floor here at PNC Arena.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to North Carolina State, upsetting Duke by 22 points. Wowzers, number 6 Duke by 22 points. And these days, it behooves you to not even be in the top 10 because you are sitting ducks. And right now, there isn't a dominant team in college basketball, despite what you may say about Baylor having won 23 in a row. But, we're talking about a team that also struggles to score. It has a smothering defense, but definitely can struggle to score. So not a complete team, even though the Bears are number 1 in the country. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Gary Hahn with the call on Learfield Sports. And Coach Mike Krzyzewski, well, he's certainly seen his teams lose by wide margins, though this is, I think, one of their worst losses in conference history. And he didn't beat around the bush with his assessment of how the Blue Devils played.
Tonight, we were not competitive. And that happens to a team. I mean, I like my team a lot. You know, that's our worst game, but they made us look bad, too.
I mean, credit to NC State. We're getting closer to March Madness. We're getting closer to Selection Sunday. It's 3 weeks from Sunday, which is nutso. Selection Monday for the women is the day after. So before we know it, it's going to be all-out craziness with the brackets and what I call them. We'll do our bracket challenge again, by the way, but brassed buckets. Yeah, that was one of my tired phrases that came out of my mouth the complete wrong way. 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy, 855-212-4227. Rick is listening in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours. Yesterday?
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Sorry. The spicy dill idea. Mm-hmm. I think it should go to the player or announcer or celebrity with the most biting comment. And for me, it's Nick Markakis this week.
Got you. You're right. So similar to like our Hall of Flame, although we don't do that every week. But yes, when Nick Markakis said all those players over there deserve a beating, referring to the Astros. All right. I like it, Rick. Thanks so much for the creativity listening in Baltimore. 855-212-4227. It depends. Are we giving it to someone who, as he talks about, has a comment that's biting or snarky or sarcastic? Or are we giving it to someone who is the hot mess of the week. I liked that suggestion as well. Someone who's gotten themselves in a pickle. That's also unique and creative. Or just for the fun of it, are we going to give it to Chaka Khan? I've seen polls that put her in who had the worst week, along with a Rob Manfred. And I saw one with Mike Bloomberg after the Democratic debates. Who had a worst week?
One more round of applause for Tennille Arts and Chaka.
I mean, she's got pipes, I'll give her that, but that was a very loose interpretation of the national anthem. Earlier this week, I was going to do a show, and not an entire show, but a show question on the worst national anthems in sports all time. And, you know, the obvious ones we think of, Carl Lewis, that was really bad. Certainly Fergie from a couple of years ago. Oh my gosh, remember? It wasn't last year, was it? When did she sing the national anthem? But I just remember she was like bumping with it. She turned it into a pop song. Wait, we're not going to hear the end? Come on, come on, come on. That wasn't bad. Acted at the end. She was all breathy and poppy through the most of it.
Thank you.
It was 2 years ago. So she sang the national anthem 2 years ago. Now we've got Chaka Khan. Again, great pipes, incredible career. But the fact that you have caught, players have to be careful because there are cameras everywhere. Even if they're not on the screen at the time, there are multiple cameras everywhere in the arenas, obviously. And so the director will see a particular player smiling or laughing or smirking or not knowing what in the world is happening. And they will put that player on camera. So you've got to be really careful. Do you know what's really funny? As I'm on Google, there's actually a whole search. Who sang the national anthem horribly? I didn't look it up, but that is an actual search on Google. Okay, so I was going to do the topic during our hump show of worst national anthems all time at sporting events, but because we had so much of this Astros stuff going on, I didn't end up doing it. Maybe we'll do it at some point moving forward. Who wants to be up next? That would be the question. on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page, you're weighing in about this whole deal with the playoffs being expanded with the NFL, which is likely to happen next winter, but also about a 17-game regular season. Tim, by the way, says, please, no more anthems. It's so bad. I don't know that it's fair to say no more anthems. We just don't want to hear them from some of these who take loose interpretations. We have some breaking news right now, according to the ATP. Roger Federer has gone through arthroscopic knee surgery and will miss Dubai, Indian Wells, Bogota, Miami, and the French Open. So remember a few years ago, He had health injury or health issues and some injuries that he missed the whole second half of a season, and then came back the following year and won the Australian Open. It was his first Grand Slam in 5 years, and then skipped the French and returned by Wimbledon. Well, this is another arthroscopic knee surgery. So late in his career now, I mean, he's still one of the top players in the world, and we know what his career is all about. But he's had another arthroscopic knee surgery, according to the ATP, and will miss Dubai, Indian Wells, Bogota, Miami, and French Open tournament. So that's big news coming from the world of tennis. Thank you guys for putting that up on the screen. He's 38 years old, so you can understand the wear and tear on his body. Even as we talk about wear and tear on NFL players and what adding an extra game in the regular season would mean, it's already a war of attrition. It's already a war of attrition. Speak clearly, Amy. And it's already survive in advance. I mean, it really is survival of the fittest. And so to add an extra game in the regular season, I mean, it calls to question the issue of health so much more. I don't mind if they're going to add an extra game. Can they also add an extra bye week? It's just that we're talking about really stretching out the season now. So starting around Labor Day, and the one proposal I saw would actually put the Super Bowl at the end of February. Whoa. The end of February. They'd have to bump back the combine. Then they'd have to pump back the draft. I mean, we're talking about the entire schedule shifting. But there would likely be fewer days in training camp, and there would also be fewer preseason games, which I think a lot of us are on board with. I'll take it. Hands down. Buzzer. Yes. Let's see. On our Facebook page, Rich says he'd be shocked by an expanded regular season. By the last couple games, you can see they're exhausted, injured. If they make the playoffs, it'll be even worse. I feel like it would hinder the playoffs quality overall. Leave it as it is. Mario says, why not? I see it as if you can get hurt early, you can rally late. If you get hurt early, you can rally late. Just kind of the luck of the draw. Aaron says, if it ain't broke, don't start fixing it. I personally feel there should have been more pressing issues to deal with. This playoff structure isn't one of them. I'm adamantly against it. Well, the NFL wants to make more money, and this is their way of doing it. If they're going to make this one of their top priorities, then at the very least, the players should get a greater cut, a greater piece of the pie. Willie says greed is the number one issue for any business. I don't mind extra playoff games. We love the NFL postseason, and adding more drama, infusing more drama into our January is not a bad thing. My issue is still with just one team having the bye. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Both sides, the NFL and the Players Association, are having big meetings today, though no votes are expected. Also, one more thing. Ryan Newman walked out of the hospital yesterday. Amazing. We'll talk to you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.